Very late in my undergraduate career, I was preparing to give a rather public talk and was being helped in that task by one of the more esteemed members of the faculty, kind of a living legend. And he was a poet of a rather philosophical sort. And I was a political science major who was ready to have this particular project finished so that I could, well, graduate. And during one of our meetings, my advisor had been pushing me insistently, without success, to reflect more abstractly on one of the more important realities that keeps poets in business, that is to say, love. And having found my reflections somewhat underwhelming, in exasperation, he later told a mutual friend of ours, and I quote, "That boy does not have a philosophical bone in his body." Now, I suspected that he was right at the time, and my suspicion was only confirmed when years later, as a Jesuit, I had to study philosophy. But I held on to his quip as a kind of badge of honor, because what I think he saw was that I am generally allergic to abstraction. I grow quickly impatient when things get esoteric very quickly, speculation especially. And so today's feast day, Corpus Christi, and last week's feast day, Trinity Sunday, tend to be a little bit tricky for me. That's because they have become idea feasts, as I like to say, where the theology and very often the preaching veer quickly towards the abstract. We take a feast day that's about Jesus' body and his blood, two of the least abstract things possible, and we wind up in a conversation about transubstantiation, consubstantiation, how bread or wine can be transformed in their essence while appearing and tasting the same. That is a very interesting question, and I want all of the theologians present to still have jobs, so I'm going to leave it to you. But I don't think that it's the heart of what today's feast day is actually all about. In fact, I think that the mystery of Jesus' body and blood that we celebrate, indeed celebrate, is tied up in the mystery of our own body and blood, each one of us. In the earliest days of Christianity, our Christians rarely faced the objection that our faith was too abstract, too speculative. In fact, the exact opposite was the case. Christian religion was viewed as way too concrete. It was too bound up in the world of stuff, in the world of matter, of wooden trees and flowing water, of flesh and of bone, of blood, yes, and of guts. And this started with Judeo-Christian belief about creation. That is, that God made everything that is, loved it into being, even, and found it very good. Lots of people in the ancient world could only scoff at this idea. They would ask, how could a God, who was supposedly eternal and unchanging, create a world of things that changed constantly, and in which they decayed and even died? To which Christians probably said, well, hold on, we haven't gotten to the incarnation yet. Because things get considerably more complicated when it comes to the belief that Jesus, that in Jesus, God took on a fully human body and existence. One like ours, exactly, in all things except sin. Whatever else we might want to say about them, early Christians and those around them didn't take these ideas for granted. God taking flesh, they would ask? Get out of here. Even some of those who thought Jesus was divine were scandalized by the idea of a true flesh and blood incarnation. And this was mostly because they thought of concrete physical matter, the stuff of which we are made, as unworthy of God, as evil by nature, or both. And this was especially true of human flesh, characterized, as we all know, by its unruly passions, its flickering mind, and its fickle and divided heart. The idea of God having created body and blood, let alone having one, was, in other words, a scandal. And yet each week we still say, we'll say it again in a moment, that we believe God created all things, visible and invisible. We still say that for us and for our salvation, we believe God became a human being in Jesus of Nazareth. The mystery to which this feast day, Corpus Christi, calls our attention is not first and foremost how all of Jesus can fit into a tiny piece of bread. Again, as interesting and important as that theological discussion may be. No, I say again that the mystery of the body and blood of Christ is tied up in the mystery of our own body and blood. Because in the end, this day points us to a God who created our flesh, each one of us, created all of the world that we know out of love, and found it very good, and still does. It points us to a God who decided to share our flesh out of love, who in Jesus walked among us and with us and for us, gladly. And this feast day points us to a God who in the Eucharist feeds our bodies and our souls with his very self. Creation, incarnation, and Eucharist, in all three, the mystery is the same, and the mystery is love. For Christians, love is just about the least abstract thing possible. Because for followers of Jesus, as one poet has said, love calls us to the things of this world. Love calls us to the things of this world. This concrete world that God loves so much that it came to be. This world that God loves so much to walk among us, to be one with us, to save us. This world of families and of spouses, of brothers and sisters, of broken relationships and loving relationships. This world. And at this table, love always ceases to be an abstraction. Because each and every time we gather here, whether it's in the church or in the hall, whether the air conditioning is too high or too cold, every time we gather here, love itself becomes our food for our hungry bodies and souls. Love itself will get down on its hands and knees and wash our feet. Disciples and doubters, deniers and believers, pilgrims all. And love calls us then, always, to go back out into this world and do likewise.